I'm Chris from the Starling Tribune, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual host. Check out all the other great podcasts at GunnaGeek.com, and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Welcome to episode number 46 of Better Podcasting. My name is Stephen John Drew, and with me today is Stargate Pioneer.
SP's in the house. It's number 46. We got a great show ahead of you today. I'm excited to be doing this. It's not Friday night. It's Sunday. It is the only day we could fit this in. And in fact, if we didn't fit it in right now within the next hour, we wouldn't have gotten the podcast out this week. So we're doing this specifically for y'all as football is being played. And we both like to watch our football.
Yeah. And this is why you want to make sure you do like us at facebook.com/betterpodcasting. You know, we talked about doing live streams and trying to have consistency, and that is a thing. But, you know, on the other hand, you got to make sure that you do fit it in where you can, because as we've mentioned, live streaming is usually just a small percentage of your listening. So that's what we're doing, is fitting it in wherever. So please do like us on Facebook, and we will always tweet about it and check the calendar at geeks.live, because we do make sure to put it on there, because we are part of the Gunna Geek Network, which has a variety of amazing geeky content, some of which we might promote a little bit later. But today, before we do start our very exciting episode, we've got a whole bunch of things on deck today. We're going to start off with an awesome How I Saved My Podcast story. Then we're going to talk a little bit about podcast styles, and it might end up leading to one important question that you should ask yourself. In the download, we're going to talk a little bit about a beloved microphone, one that might be behind me, maybe. And then in the feedback, we're going to chime in on a couple of different listener comments, including a bit of a clarification on something that follows up to the IAB document from last week. So let's dive into it momentarily. But first, we are in the final moments of our contest giveaway. That's right. Right now, insert that super stressful, oh my God, we're out, we're running out of time music right now. This is the HG2005 microphone that we are giving away for the video viewer. You can see this over SP's face right now. This microphone is a fantastic microphone. It's one that SP and I quite like, and we like it so much that we are giving this away ourselves. This contest is not sponsored, and we're running this till the end of September 2016, and you, that's right, I'm talking to you, you can enter by emailing contest@betterpodcasting.com, and it's very easy. All you got to do is tell us the name of your show, or if you're thinking of doing a show, what you're thinking about. And the second thing is, how did you hear about us? It could be as much as I was browsing Twitter the other day and I found Kevin Smith talking about it, because I think that's a thing, right?
I think Kevin Smith listens to this all the time, because when he's podcasting, it's a hobby podcast for him. It's not a business, right? Actually, it might be. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's a business.
Yeah. Kevin Smith, I don't care who you are. If you listen to this podcast, we would love to hear from you and enter into the AT2005 giveaway. Once again, tell us who you are. Tell us what the name of your podcast is, and we will pimp it on the show. So have fun with that. We've already gotten a bunch of different entries, and we are waiting. And the first week of October, we will be giving this away. So the entries will be accepted until September 30th in whatever time zone that you live in.
Absolutely. 2016. Yeah, 2016. Let's specify that. 2016. Let's go ahead, though, and get into a How I Saved My Podcast story. Here we go.
Oh.
love this segment. We're already getting so many comments on it, and it's terrific. It's just, it's fun to hear the group learning, the communal learning, as we'll call it. And as we mentioned before, you can send it by text. You can send us audio. You can send us video. However you would like to get this story to us, we just want to share it. You know, let's learn from each other. We're all in this together. You know, a lot of times people use the word competition or competitor and stuff like that, but we're not. We're all a group of podcasters making waves in the media consumption realm right now, and we absolutely want to help share with each other. So, SP, you got this one actually sent to you directly, so I'll let you introduce it before we play it.
Yeah, Mike Rundau is one of the hosts. He's the producer of the Cantina Cast, which is a Star Wars podcast. I actually had a chance to meet Mike at a convention, and he was doing a panel about podcasting. So I went and listened in, and a lot of great stuff there. He's had some difficulties this summer, and he takes the next few minutes to tell you what happened and what he's done to save his podcast. And some of it is stuff that we talked before, but this is stuff that all podcasters can face. And I heartily recommend that you listen to this, and we'll close it out by both Steven and I talking about it after the clip. So Steven, roll it.
All right.
Hey everybody, it's Mike from the Cantina Cast. And if you don't know what that is or who I am, well, it's a Star Wars podcast. I'm the host, the creator, and owner, and all those fancy made-up titles. But anyway, so I was recently asked by the guys to do a segment that is based on how I saved my podcast, because if you don't know, there's been several times with my podcast where I've struggled to continue and wanted to go on, and I'm still struggling with it. It's actually a loaded question, and it took me a little time to even do this video, because I don't even know if this video is going to come out right, because I'm still contemplating it, because it's a loaded question for me. I know there's many podcasters that hit the brick wall and ask themselves, why am I doing this? And we'd said this at our Indiana Comic Con panel, which Stargate Pioneer was a part of, in the audience. And he came up and talked to us after. And it was a great conversation, but that's not what we're here for. But anyway, as Joe had mentioned, who's my co-host, mentioned on the panel, you know, your passion is what gets you through a lot of that. And that is true to a point. But as we've learned, that's not exactly true, because Joa, my co-host, actually took a break from podcasting in the summer. Shortly after we had the Indiana Comic Con panel, he took about, I want to say, 3 months off or something like that. And I had to do the show on my own. And when he left, I didn't know what was going to go on. I wasn't sure if he was quitting, if you know, I was going to continue. I didn't know what was going on. But I always dig down deep and realize, you know, it's a great thing that we got going on. So I was going to continue, and I continued, and it was a struggle, because our show isn't set up where it's a one-man band type of thing. We have a great dynamic going back and forth, and that was missing. I did the show, and it was good. We didn't lose any downloads or anything like that, which I was very surprised, because I thought we were going to crash and drop because the dynamic wasn't there anymore. But people gave me a shot, and it was great. It was humbling, and I felt good. Now, I probably could have got better at it going forward, being on my own, but that's not how our show is designed. So I would have had to get a replacement for Joa, which was going to be an impossible task, because the way we have our chemistry, it's just perfect. And I hate to mess that up. So in any case, thankfully he came back. But I've learned since then, and I think even Joa has learned, that it takes more than just passion to do it. It takes the drive to keep pursuing your dream. When all things go to crap, that's when you got to find out about yourself and keep going on and you know, realize it's all worth it. Now, I struggle daily with it because I have a 5-year-old daughter who I want to spend every chance I get with. We have a lot of fun and I enjoy being around her and stuff. So that's a constant struggle. And I think on a recent episode of the Podcasters Roundtable, they even mentioned, Ray Ortega mentioned the death of many podcasters, or when they want to, or podcasts, or when they want to hang up their headphones and shut off their mics, is when they have a kid. And that's very true. However, I still love doing this, because what I learned when I even took a little bit of a break when Joa took a break. I took 2 weeks off to rethink things and to see what I was going to do, if I wanted to continue or not. I realized I miss doing what I do with the podcast and the website, and now even into video here. And in that break, I ended up making a whole new website for the Cantina Cast. So apparently I can't go without. It's like a drug to me. So it always calls me back. However, now in the last few weeks, I've realized, like I said, my daughter's getting older. She's more involved with things at school and outside of school and friends and all, you parents know what I'm talking about and stuff like that. And of course, now I'm getting more into video and stuff. I want to vlog. I want to make all these little short videos and stuff like that just to experiment, not to be famous like Casey Neistat or anything like that, but just to learn because I'm always in a constant state of learning. So juggling all this around makes me question at times, is this really worth it? Do I want to keep going? And the answer is yes, because the podcast, not only it saved me back in the day, and it always beckons to me, and it's always, we built something so amazing, so awesome, that I can't just walk away from it. That would be stupid and foolish to just walk away. I'm not done yet, basically. But yeah, it's a constant struggle. So it's one you have to work through, you have to fight through, and you have to realize it is all worth it in the end. Now, sometimes it's okay to walk away and rethink things and kind of retool what you want to do, refocus, maybe revamp the show, maybe walk away and create a new show, do something. But stick with podcasting. It is worth it. So hopefully my ramblings kind of help some of you guys out, or at least provoke a discussion amongst the guys here on the show and go back and forth. But my only thing I could say at the end of the day here is stay the course. That's my mantra. That's what I live. That's what I do. I fight through everything. You know, my dad was a Marine, and I learned long ago things are going to be tough, but you got to keep moving forward and conquer the beach. And yeah, sounds cheesy and all those things, but it's true. You just got to keep at it. Don't give up. Even if it looks bleak, you don't have the downloads. I know what it's like to have only 50 to 100 downloads when you first start out, and you're like, and you get to that wall, and you're like, what the hell am I doing? Why is this even worth it? But trust me, stay the course. Keep going. A lot of amazing things will happen, and it is all worth it. And even if you step away for a few weeks, you'll realize you miss it, and you'll want to come back, and it's all worth it in the end, because the good times outweigh the bad times. And I sound like a guidance counselor right now. So in any case, I'm going to wrap that up. Thanks, guys, for giving me the opportunity to speak my mind a little bit here. Hopefully, I didn't ramble too much, and take care, everybody.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sending that video. I love that. I think that it's a terrific video, and there's a lot of really good things to just think about. Some of the points of it, thinking through him, right? Like you hear his struggles that he went through and how he came around back to podcasting and kind of going through a bit of reflection. And yeah, you know, he does sound a little bit like a guidance counselor, but I love it. I think it's great. And I think it's important for people to walk themselves through those thoughts every now and then. And also the other thing that I want to tie in here is he mentioned he basically needed a little bit of a break in there in order to sort of come over this. And this is why I'm a big advocate for not forcing the situation. You're a hobby podcaster, right? Like that's what the show is about. It's about hobby podcasters. And it is okay to give yourself those breaks occasionally so that you can make sure that you are still actually loving this, because you can get so caught up in the routine that you're not 100% sure on that. And that's why for me at Christmas time, it's huge. I always push for a 2 to 3 week break, pre-recording some stuff, skipping a week, combining them. And that just gives me the battery recharge I need. Thinking about this year and sort of how my summer went, I'm actually considering for 2017 implementing a similar thing on my shows and you know, like Gonna Geek and whatnot for the summer somewhere. Because I think that it's not bad to have two recharge sessions essentially a year.
No, there's pluses and minuses. We've talked about it before for the breaks specifically, where you have people that are traveling and they might want content while they're traveling. So you have to balance that with the fact that you're trying to take some time off. You know they're trying to take some time off. Everybody's routine is upended. So your downloads might not be as great as they are around there. So should you be putting out your A content? Well, that's up for you to decide between what your content is and what the consumption is, and are people going to listen to it or not, or are they going to come back to it later? So yeah, that's something to take into consideration. I have 6 total things that I took away, and some of them are combined with other things from this video, which is great. So it wasn't just one thing, you know, How I Saved My Podcast. We started those stories off by one specific thing along the way. Mike lists a bunch of stuff along the way. So first of all, let's talk about the big one, the co-host breaking.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And I reached out to Mike at this point in time because I knew he was struggling. I said, and he's a great guy. I liked him. I joined meeting him. I'm like, look, we have a lot of people on the Gonna Geek Network that are interested in Star Wars. We just don't have a Star Wars podcast. So if you need somebody temporarily just give us a call and I'll let you know who's available and who wants to do it. So you could have somebody, one of your fans, step in. You could have a co-podcaster from some other area step in, or you could do it alone, which is what he did. And the key there, though, is that another thing he talked about was his downloads didn't suffer at all when he did go solo and he did those solo podcasts. That's because people love their content. People want to talk Star Wars right now because of everything happening in the Star Wars universe with the revival of Star Wars and with Star Wars being bought by Disney from Lucasfilms. And there's a whole bunch of stuff going on right now. So people want to talk Star Wars. So get that content out on a regular basis. And even if your downloads go down, like we've both done TV shows, Steven and I have both done TV show podcasts. And in the summer, when the regular season is during the fall to spring time frame, during the summer, you're like, well, what do we do? Do we take time off? Do we keep pumping content out? And I've done it both. And I know Steven has done both. And I can tell you that your overall growth will be better if you constantly pump content out that is worth listening to. Like, just don't get on there and say, hey, we're just podcasting just to pump out an episode and say, hey, we're still here. We're waiting for the season to start in 3 months. Okay, the season just ended and you've got nothing to talk about this summer. No recap, no what's going on appearance-wise with the cast this summer, that sort of thing. And it doesn't have to be TV shows. It's just an example. It could be anything else that's seasonal. So keep pumping out content. Family, you got to take time for family. Both Steven and I make sure that we schedule in time for our families. So yes, that is very important. Don't ignore them. Take advantage of the time while you got it. From a guy whose kids are going off to college now, it goes faster than you think. And you turn around and you're like, whoa, it was so hard when I was going through it. And it seemed like a daily struggle. But afterwards, it's like, oh, it's gone. And I miss it. I miss the good times part of that. So don't miss the good times. Now, you can have a hobby. You can go bowling. You can go golfing. You can go fishing. We've talked about it all before. If podcasting is your hobby or one of your hobbies, keep it as separate from family time. That's great. And then as Steven talked about, break time is really important. And I just want to hammer home a few things here. He refreshed his website during his downtime. He retooled. He started doing video during his downtime. And he said that it's a constant struggle and he's constantly wanting to learn. But taking those downtimes is really important to revitalize your content. Is this all worth it? That's a great question. It is for Steven and I, and we hope it is for you, especially if you're listening to this. And if it's not worth it, go find something else that is.
Yeah.
You don't have to podcast. No. You can shut it off at any time that you want. So make sure that you determine if it's worth it or not. And that's the last thing. The good for him outweighs the bad. It's just stick with it. Stay the course. That's his mantra. Keep the faith. You know, 100 different memes that you can throw at it. Mm-hmm. And I think that is very important. So very great segment. If you are thinking about a How I Save My Podcast segment, you don't have to do all that. You can just tell us one little specific event. But Mike's was so profound and so intertwined with everything. We thought it was great to share the whole thing. So Mike, thank you very much for sharing that with us. Really appreciate that. If you have any other How I Save My Podcast stories, Mike, feel free to get it into us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike. We do appreciate that. And let's go into our next topic. Here we go. All righty. We are into a very, very interesting topic today. We are going to talk about types of podcasts, and it's going to be broken down into a few different pockets. And at first glance, you might be thinking to yourself, well, podcasts are pretty much all the same. You know, they present entertainment for a listener, so basically, they are all the same thing. Right, SP?
Absolutely. Podcasts are all the same thing. I listen to every single one. It starts out with an intro. They go on, tell me what's going on with the podcast. And then they go in with the information that they're talking about. And then they wrap up with feedback and comments and news. And that's it. And they do an outro. Every single podcast is this. No, it's not. Trust me, it's not. There are different ways to podcast. Basically, I was thinking about this, and a podcast can be anything that you record on a MP3 or audio format, and then you put out there on an RSS feed. That's the definition of a podcast. We do a video companion. We're doing video right now. That not necessarily a podcast. It can be a companion, a supplement to your podcast. A podcast, you could have silence. You could say, okay, I'm going to do an intro. I'm going to do silence for a half an hour. And I'm going to do an outro. And that is your meditation podcast. I mean, there can be, you can tell a story, you could do it. So there's a lot of different ways you can podcast. Don't think that you have to be in any sort of box when you're podcasting. The sky's the limit. As long as you can record audio and put it out on an RSS feed, it is a podcast. Now, there's a lot of variety of different ways to podcast, and Stephen has put together quite an impressive list. So we're going to talk about all these stuff.
All right. So let's start off with the formats and the styles of podcasting, because we wanted to bring up a few specific formats and styles to mention to get you thinking that, yeah, you know what? Things aren't all the same. And we'll start off with one of my favorite types, which is an interview podcast. Now, some podcasts do have interviews, but there are some that are dedicated interview podcasts. Basically, when you listen to a show, you know you will be getting an interview. That is the majority of their content. And why I personally quite enjoy the interview style is because it offers a variety. It's basically encouraging a variety of voices, of content, and things like that, because that's what they're doing. They're sitting there interviewing a new person each week. It's a new person's perspective each week. I love it. It offers built-in freshness. You cover a variety of broad topics while you may be, like, let's say that you're the interview podcast on paint drying experts. You know, there's a whole industry on there of people who just watch paint dry, right? Like, that's a thing, I think. And that's not actually a thing, I don't think, but...
I think it is, as is the group of grass-growing cheerleaders.
True. Okay, fair. No. So let's say that that's your genre. Well, a good interviewer will always be able to find a way to work in off-topic questions into the interview. And so you really do get the variety, because if you were to ask SP right now, SP, what was the most interesting thing that happened in your childhood? It would be a very different answer than me, more than likely, because we're two different people. So that's what's awesome about an interview show, is you do have this built-in fresh format that happens each week.
I do like an interview show. Do I want to do an interview show? As a hobby podcaster, it's a lot of work, because you have to schedule the interviews. You have to prepare for the interviews, which actually is the preparation time is no different than the preparation time for any other podcast. But it's a different type of preparation. You have to do a lot of research into the individual, look at all the other published content out there that they've done, the interviews that they have done and stuff like that. And then I've done it before on podcasts talking about the, like, Defiance or Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., where I'm talking about people in those areas or on the peripheral of those areas, and finding interesting things to talk to them about that is different from all the other stuff that they've done is very important. I believe that adds value and content, so you're not just saying the same old thing. I don't ever want to be a quote-unquote reporter, and I'm a hobby podcaster, I'm not a reporter, but I don't want to be that reporter that just chunks grinds the wheels and the gears, and it talks to a person that has three questions and then gets out. Now, there's lines that you have to draw. Like, you're not going to ask somebody about the fact of the arrest that they had when they were, you know, 20 years ago or something like that. No, I mean, if it's relevant to what they're doing, yeah, but there's no need to bring that sort of stuff out unless that's what you're doing. It's my point is content and context. You have to be careful of. So interview shows are great. You have to be careful on either side. We're not necessarily going to do a to-do here. We're just talking to you about the different styles of different podcasts. Now, another one that's kind of similar to an interview show, but it's a little bit different. If you've ever listened to the radio and it's a sports team radio show or whatever, odds are at some point in time, they're going to do interviews, but they're also going to do call-ins as well. So if you're a fan, if you're a listener to the show and you want to have your say, or if you want to agree or disagree with the host or whatever, you call in and do it. We've all heard it. We've all grown up at least listening or on the peripheral of AM radio. Podcasts can be the same way. You can do a call-in show that way as well. And it's very similar to an interview show in the aspect of you have different people that you're dealing with, but it's not similar because it's live. You never know who you're going to have on the other end, and you're not going to be able to do that research out there. So it's basically a off the cuff sort of interaction that you have. So it's similar but different, and that's what I want to point out there. You can do a call-in show that's different than an interview show, but you're going to have some sort of fan base to do it. Whereas an interview show, you don't necessarily have to have a fan base. You just have to score that interview with whoever it is. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the big name. It's just somebody either that's an expert in their field or interesting.
Absolutely. One other one that is a little familiar to us is a information/education show. What I mean is like this, that's what this is. This is an information show, right? We're talking about hobby podcast tips and tools and other relevant related podcast stuff. And so that's what this show is it really is an information show. And what's nice about information shows is people learn through different methods. There's a whole industry on learning types. Look into it. People learn through different ways. And so it really, again, is kind of like an interview show where you can use all of these different methods. You can have somebody maybe send in a clip, i.e. how they save their podcast. You could have somebody come on to talk about a specific topic, i.e. Chris Farrell. You could even incorporate listener feedback and comments, i.e. Better Pod Back. So yeah, absolutely, there's a lot of great ways that you can present your information because that's what you're doing, is you're trying to educate your listener. And I really love information and education shows because the ones that are done well, they really incorporate all of these different types, and it keeps the show fresh because you're not using the same ABC, ABC, ABC each week. I love information and education shows myself.
Yeah, you can also do tutorials as long as there are audio-based tutorials. You can do that. You can even do tutorials that need visualization and you release a video companion. You can do that as well. Also, I want to point out, we talked about Chris Farrell already. He does a news show, Nerd Alert News. You can do hardcore reporting, or you can just summarize news points that are out there or stuff like that. So that's kind of an informational show, but you can also do opinion-based stuff as well with that. Like, there's a lot of political podcasts out there right now. Imagine that. We're in the core of a very controversial election in the United States, and there's a lot of people trying to get their message out either way or get their opinion out either way. And podcasts are a great venue to do that, but you have to be careful with that because you could end up in the slander territory. So you just have to be careful how you phrase it. So news informational items can be something that you cover as well.
Now, this next one I want to personally toss to you because you, SP, do several of these right now. So I think you should talk about review shows.
Okay. Yeah, I have several active review shows, and we've both done them before, TV review shows or whatever. I've got a comic book review show. Steven had a comic book show that he did in the past, and part of that was review shows. But basically, you can do a review on anything. You can talk about books. You can talk about TV shows. You can talk about radio shows. You can talk about sporting teams and what they've done on the field that week or what they're preparing to do or whatever. The key with a review show is that don't get too broad that you go out of the bounds of your listener base.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about a TV show, like with Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Marvel-related content. You don't see me pumping out a Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. talking about The Deadliest Catch. That would be two very different things. And I don't think, as much as there might be a conjoined fan base, there is a lot of people that are not fans of both. The mutual exclusive band is pretty wide with those two shows. So you just have to be careful to include things that you can talk about. Now, some things that can be very broad but inclusive, I talked about before, movies or film-based review shows, that is good to do, as well as like book reviews or whatever. Or if you do a sporting review show, you can do reviews of a lot of different sports. I mean, you can get specific with those. Like if you're talking about one specific team, or you could do broad and cover the whole sport, or you could do broad sports in general. like ESPN Radio does in the morning with Mike and Mike. They cover everything. ESPN in general covers everything. I mean, there's some specific things that they cover more than others because they get higher ratings on it. Okay, great. Find the niche that works for you and work for it. So just be careful to either be as specific or as broad as your subject matter allows, and don't go beyond that in either case.
Absolutely. And I'll give you another example. There is, as you know, I love a lot of the SP style shows, the Arrow, the Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I love all that stuff, but I'm weird. I'm an enigma. I also do like stuff like Amazing Race and Big Brother and Survivor and other stuff.
Those second tier reality stores.
Not the high tier.
Yeah. Not the high tier Deadliest Catch. You're talking about the lower tier stuff.
Exactly. So could you imagine if I did a podcast that covered Arrow and Big Brother? Like, no, that's not going to work. Half the audience would like one and half the audience wouldn't like the other. So definitely that would be a bad example, or that would be a bad show in my opinion. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe there's a lot of shared interest. I don't know. But I agree with what you said there. Try to keep it as narrow or broad as the subject matter allows. And I think there's lots of really good movie shows out there, ones that cover a broad scope of movies. But that's the tone, right? It's people who like films. So I think that that's great. Another thing that you might do, and we've actually got one of these on the Gunna Geek Network, it's called a storytelling show. Now, storytelling can be fiction, like you're probably thinking right now, or it can also be nonfiction. That's the great thing about storytelling. The one that we have on the network called Strange in Unusual Productions, they are a fiction podcast. They do a bunch of different stories. They do some great voice work in there, some really high production, but they feature a variety of different stories. So that's awesome. You get the creative juices going. But on the other hand, storytelling can be personal experiences. I know we've actually had a couple of Gunna Geekers over the years come up with concepts for nonfiction storytelling podcasts, but they, you know, They're busy. They always ran out of time and never had a chance to do it. So really, storytelling can be great because it's actually making things quite relatable if it's a nonfiction podcast. We always say, try to be relatable. And if it's a nonfiction podcast and you're essentially opening up your heart to everybody and telling the world, that's awesome. That's great. You know, how else are people going to feel other than like you're their friend because you're sharing everything? I think that they're... either fiction or nonfiction storytelling podcasts are a lot of fun.
So storytelling, as Stephen was saying, is a variety of different things. So you can have a fictional story, a radio drama, as if you will, like Strange and Unusual Productions. They put out several underneath their banner, actually. It's not just one story. So you just have to be careful on which one you download and where in the stream that you are. But that's what they do. And it is amazing production. On the other hand, you have kind of a narrated story, and I'll throw out kind of a popular one with the older crowd, at least. It's News from Lake Wobegon. Garrison Keillor does that podcast as part of his weekly radio show that he does, and I'm familiar with this because he talks about Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, and he started out in Minnesota, but he's moved more into the NPR Total Totality scene. I think the show still is live in Minnesota every week, but he had moved it to New York for a while. He's back in Minnesota and he's done this for decades. And he narrates the story every week. He tells what's going on with the town every week. So that's great. And then you've got the combination where it's kind of a story that's news, and like Serial is a great example of that. I mean, I'm just throwing out common examples. There's a lot of other examples out there. I don't want to get fixated on Serial. For those that don't know, Serial was a very popular podcast that came out talking about serial murders and the story behind it, as well as interjecting news and opinion along the way in the way it was presented. That's a combination of news and storytelling. So again, you don't actually have to do you can't fit it in one box. You can do whatever you want to that's creative. So that is all good.
Another one that's sometimes a little bit storytelling, depending on how it's done, is debate podcasts. Debate podcasts are a ton of fun, in my opinion, because they really do encourage a variety of opinions. And that's what I really like about a debate podcast, because that's what you're doing. You have to have two people with different points of view, or playing two different points of views, because everybody has done mock debates in their lives. And I would like to think that everybody at least once in their life has tried to do a mock debate on a point of view that they don't agree with. And I think that it's a lot of fun from a creative perspective, but from a listener perspective, we've actually got one that sometimes goes into this category on Gonna Geek Network. It's called In Defensive. And I love when you see the opposing points of views in a very rational and civil manner, discuss these opposing views. It's fantastic. It's again, shared experiences. So debate podcasts really, in my opinion, do open up that variety as well.
So, Stephen, do you or do you not believe that Pluto is an actual planet, not a protoplanet, dwarf planet, or whatever? It's an actual planet. Do you agree with that?
See, here's the thing. We can't debate because you and I both think that it's an actual planet.
Okay, good.
So there you go.
So Neil deGrasse Tyson, it's an actual planet, buddy. He'll never listen to this anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I know you had a couple other ones that you wanted to touch on really quick here as well.
Yeah, so you think about there's a plethora of out there. There's entrepreneurial podcasts out there, startup podcasts talking about startup businesses, whatever, which I believe is a huge component to our economy because this lets people start new businesses, new technology, stuff like that. So there's a wide variety of stuff, and largely they're marketing some service that they have, which is fine. That's part of podcasting. It's part of business podcasting. You can market it, stuff like that. So it's a supplement to their business or infomercial. And then also, let's talk about seasonal podcasting. We talked about seasonal podcasting with TV shows or sports teams, but it doesn't have to be limited to media or entertainment. It could be something else that you're going through that you're just doing one season or a lot of different seasons. And for that, I'll point out to a widely known documentary series called Cosmos by Carl Sagan. It was just recently redone by Neil deGrasse Tyson. As much as I will debate with the man about Pluto being a planet or dwarf planet, Cosmos, both versions were really good. And that's just two seasons, like decades apart. So it doesn't a season doesn't necessarily have to be one season, 1 year, another season, another year. I mean, look at the amount of time between seasons for The Sopranos, Battlestar Galactica, different TV shows. I mean, it doesn't have to be regular. It helps, but it doesn't have to. So there are different ways. And again, I'll go back to the beginning of a podcast. The content, the format can be anything that you can put on an MP3. And then you can put out on an RSS. So could be more than the examples that we just gave. But yeah. Stephen, what other considerations do people have to have with their format?
Yeah. So for types of podcast wise, you might be thinking, well, you know, I know that I'm an interview show, so that's all that matters, right? Well, I disagree slightly because delivery styles and tone plays a very important part in the different types of shows, different types of podcasts. For example, you have a lot of podcasts which have sort of a comedic tone to it. Now, we've said this before, fun can be very, very infectious, and a comedic style can keep people laughing. And if they're laughing, they want to come back, they want to see more. I'm not exaggerating at all. I have literally listened to a podcast and had to pull over because I just can't stop laughing, and it's not safe for me to keep driving. And I've had it before where I'm just like, I'm in a situation that I can't do that, and I'm like, wow, this is dangerous right now. Anytime I've had that happen, I absolutely go and I write the show and I'm like, hey, you almost made me crash your car. Great job. Keep up the good work. And I think that's something that it's an example of me where I know that I really love those comedic podcasts, and I will always return to those if I am so much laughing that it is a dangerous situation.
So you mean you are listening to the podcast, which causes you to get to steal their car, get into their car, drive it away, and crash their car?
No, that's not what I meant. Yeah, okay, let's interpret it however SP wants to interpret it, because SP is always right, right?
Absolutely, we know that.
So comedic tones are absolutely a podcast tone, and it does definitely play a part. Now, let's go to the flip side of things. Serious tone shows are also possible. Isn't that right, SP?
Yes, it is. There's a ton of NPR-style podcasts. There's a ton of podcasts about serious subject matter. You're talking about depression. You're talking about what happens when people pass away. Very serious criminal investigations. So there are political, I would say, serious as well, whereas you're not trying to entertain, you're more trying to talk about facts back and forth and maybe debate. So there is, you have to think about it. Do I want to approach this topic seriously, or do I want to approach it entertainment, or do I want to combine the two like Fox News does and does a terrible job of it? I would say. So that is an opinion that I just said, and you have to back that up with facts or whatever. And Absolutely. It's just an example of something that you can, you have to be serious about, basically, in terms of what you're doing. So serious tone show is if you have a subject matter that needs to be serious, you need to talk about that. Now, the other thing is, are you an expert, a subject matter expert? Or are you just a fan? Or if you're podcasting about something, I will say you're a super fan because you're doing something that takes a lot of creative effort to get out and talk about whatever you're a fan of. So are you a subject matter expert, or are you a super fan? Steven, what do people have to consider about that?
Well, the thing is, depending on how you want to take your stance, you will have a different tone. Like if you go to a podcast, you can clearly tell whether these people are trying to be subject matter experts or they are kind of just trying to be just fans. Now, the thing with the expert approach is that you really do need to back it up, as SP kind of alluded to there. You need to make sure that you know the subject, you're not BSing your way through it, that you're presenting yourself in that way, because people will see through it. If you are not an expert at it and you are trying to act like an expert, people can see through that. They will call you on it, and trust me, it'll happen. But on the flip side of things, you might want to just present it like, we're just fans of the show. I know you guys actually say it on Starling Tribune all the time. You're just fans of the show. And that's another sort of feel. And it can be a relatable feel, because the people listening to your shows are probably fans of the subject material as well. So definitely your tone can vary, whether you want to take a more expert feel to it or you want to come off as just a fan. And that will also help shape your show as far as what specifically you're going to cover. Because if you are a subject matter expert, you're probably going to put in more of the facts that help support your case. If you're just a fan, you're probably going to come from a more opinion perspective. This is my take on it. This is how I felt about it. And you might not elaborate on that. So it definitely can help dictate the content depending on the tone you want to take. And the other thing that I just want to quickly mention as well is SP had mentioned that your subject matter might set the tone of your show. Well, that also might be the case with a subject matter expert versus a fan perspective tone as well. Because if you are talking about a criminal experience, like let's say that you are talking about serial murders or things like that, if you're not a legal lawyer, you don't want to present yourself in a manner where people might think that you are in a position to hand out legal advice. So definitely the subject matter can dictate the tone of your show.
It can. And even if you are a subject matter expert, you might not know everything in that that's peripheral around the subject. So you might have to call in other subject matter experts. Now, crime is a great example, because you might have a lawyer, but you might need to call in a forensic analysis. You might actually have to call in a detective to talk about police procedures. You might have to call in somebody that works in the judicial system to understand exactly how the actual process of the courts work. Now, lawyers probably know that, but in specific cases, in talking about a grand jury or whatever, you might want to call in a district attorney to talk about how they actually run their grand juries or whatever. And if all this is foreign speak to you, don't worry about it. This is just an example of there's different facets of a criminal investigation that you would want to bring in. Just like in TV shows, there's a creative team, there's a production team, there's a writing team, there's a actual shooting team, meaning the cinematography team, then there's audio teams, and then there's the actual actors, and then there's the choreography. So there's just several different things with a TV show. It doesn't have to be criminal. I mean, it could be any subject matter. You have a variety of different things. Sports, you have to have maybe a doctor, a physical therapist on board, somebody that's actually played the sport before or knows or coached the sport before and knows that, somebody that may be in the general office that does the business behind the sport. So there's just different things. Even if you are a subject matter expert with one particular point of the subject matter that you're covering, there's other points of view as well.
Absolutely. So now we've talked about the format of your show, the tone of your show. Why does it all matter? Well, consider this. Have you ever walked into a store where you don't know what's going on? They have everything. They offer a variety of stuff, and it's hard to find that thing that you're looking for. There's no general feel. There's no general sense of customer experience. That's what happens if you don't know your tone and your format and your type of show. Is you are going to present that to the listener instead of being a customer. Well, it is. Podcast listeners are your customers. So you want to make sure that you're aware of that. And if you, again, getting back to sort of the retail factor, there is a lot of money spent in retail on trying to develop a consistent customer experience in different franchises and big corporations, things like that. A successful store knows the customer experience they want to offer the customer. And this comes back to, what is their format of their store? What are their offerings? What do they want the tone to be? Same thing as your podcast. Make sure that you are aware of these things so you can create that customer listener experience. Make sure that you are aware of it. So we want to leave this on one important question. We want you to ask yourself, what type of podcast is mine? And think about everything we've talked about in the realm of type of podcasting. If you can't answer that, that might be a clue that you need to take a little bit of moment to really self-reflect and think about it. Because if you don't know what type of podcast you are, how are you going to offer that listener experience to the listener?
Yeah, being a hobby podcaster, it's actually very, you might not have the large production team behind you. So this is something that you have to think about in terms of strategic presence and what kind of experience, as Steven said, that you want the listener. So we went through a lot of things. If you have any questions about any of it, hit us up. We would be glad to talk to you about it. This is part of planning your podcast. This is part of executing your podcast. This is part of everything. So yeah, just hit us up at BetterPod on Twitter, Better Podcasting on Facebook, and podcast at betterpodcasting.com on email, and we'd be glad to talk to you about it, or send in, you know, video, audio, whatever. We'd be glad to listen to that as well.
For sure. And maybe there's a type of podcast that you can think of that we didn't mention. Absolutely. Let us know.
Yeah, we'd love to hear it.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
All right. We mentioned it. We have a discussion today on an article that came out about a favorite microphone. And yes, it is one of the ones that is behind me. It is the Shure SM58 microphone. This microphone is one that has been around for a long time, even pre-podcasting. It is a staple for a lot of musicians. A lot of musicians will not use anything but this on stage. So it has been around, and there was an article put out that was 10 things you may not know about it. Isn't that right, SP?
Yeah, it was put out by Shure itself, and it was basically a historical look, or did you know, about the Shure SM58. And we've taken a couple out, and we want to talk about them, but there's 10 things. It's a great article. I've actually done a lot of research into microphones now, the history behind them or whatever, like this RE320, Electrovoice RE320 that I'm using. How did it come to be? What is behind it? You know, how did the technology get developed? That sort of thing. It interests me. So I looked into it, and this article hadn't been out yet until recently. Took a look at this article. It was like, oh yeah, some things I knew, some things I didn't. So we're going to go through some of the more interesting things for podcasters. So, Steven, why don't you tell us the number one thing about the Shure SM58?
Sure. The first thing that we wanted to mention, by the way, did you notice how I said Shure? Is that SM, it's part of the number, right? SM58. What does the SM stand for? Well, it actually stands for studio microphone. That's right. The Shure company developed this microphone as a line called the studio microphone. And you will hear that amongst other microphones. There's the SM57, which was made in 65. This one, though, was in 66. And yes, they do indeed categorize it as a studio microphone. Now, you can extrapolate. Microphone technologies have developed since 1966. is this really worthy of a quote unquote studio now compared to what's out there? It's debatable, but that's interesting to me that yes, SM stands for studio microphone, which was what they had planned when they developed the thing. Very neat. Very neat.
So the technology in the Essence 58 was based on the Unidyne 3 cartridge, the 545 cartridge,
yes,
and, or the technology. And that same technology went into develop the microphone that I was using earlier this year, the Shure SM7B. So that is definitely a studio grade microphone that was based on the same technology. So yes, this originally was talking about PA systems or broadcasting, and now we're talking about studio quality microphones. Now, let's talk about how it was actually developed. And I love this, being an engineer. It was born to perform. What we're talking about, it's practically indestructible. And I've watched some videos of like Mackie mixers getting run over, getting struck by lightning or whatever, and they still happen to work. In this particular case, the inventor or the designer of the SM58, his name is Ernie Seeler. And he tested this. It's amazing what he did. So he did some live firing. He actually shot it with a 12 gauge shotgun. He dunked it in a pint of Guinness. So he submersed it. I mean, if you're in a bar, you got beer thrown around, right? And you know, microphone might end up getting wet. So does it perform or not? Now, I don't think I would ever try to record anything underwater or. Would I really want the electronics of an SM58 in the water for that long time period? But apparently it performs there. So he grilled it alongside some hot dogs. So, you know, if you're hungry, you don't have any food left in the house and you got your microphone, you might want to eat it, you know? So
we encourage you not to eat your microphone. Don't eat your microphone.
I wouldn't do that. So it was dropped, cooked, frozen, and submerged. And the quality assurance standards for the Shure SM58 go back to its testing and its designer back in the 60s. So 50 years later, it is an amazing performing microphone.
Absolutely. Now, we mentioned it briefly earlier, there's the SM58, but there's also the SM57. I actually didn't realize until this article that they are apparently, this is what the article says, they are the same microphone with a different grill on it. So if you go and Google the SM57, you'll see it looks quite different. Apparently, go ahead, unscrew that SM57 grill, throw on the same one as the 58, and yes, apparently they are the same internal components. And the big thing is that the ball grill that you see on the 58 does help act as a effective pee popper filter. That's right, I did my P's right into my microphone for that. And the 57 was actually designed as an instrument microphone where the smaller grill size is preferred. If you've ever done any experimenting with pop filters, things like that, you actually can, if you've got a good set of ears and cans, you can actually hear the difference. So that's why the 57 doesn't have it, because it doesn't need that extra P popper. I think it probably acts or gives a little bit more clarity, but very, very interesting. I had no idea that the internals were the same.
Yeah, and if you look at the wireless microphones that are used in concert performance and news gathering and live sound these days, the ones that don't have a cord attached to it, that have a wireless transmitter to it, one of the cages and one of the microphone that it comes with or that you can get it with is the SM58 cage. So it's just that versatile and that great over the years that they've used it. Now, one last thing that's caught my attention, and it certainly caught Steven's attention as well, is guess what? You could take the SM58 into space, and it will work. Now, of course, you'll have to have atmosphere. You can't just throw it out there and expect to record something. But yes, in an interview with the New York Times in April 2011, a wired SM58 was seen floating around and shared by 6 astronauts on the International Space Station. Sounded great, and it proved that you don't need gravity to use the SM58.
Absolutely. I love it. I think it's great. We've talked a little bit about it. It's really not that surprising when you really think about the technical requirements of a microphone and how it works, but still love the fact that the SM58 has been in space. So please check out the rest of these 10 points here at geeks.link/SM58. That will take you over to the Sure blog where you can read the 4 points we talked about, as well as a variety of other things. And as a final reminder, we are in the home stretch of the blind testing microphone shootout that I did, with one of them being the SM58, which you can find at geeks.link/shootout. Only a couple more weeks. I'm going to run this the same time that we're running the contest. At the end of September, I will do the reveal of which microphone was which. So please do chime in. All I want to know is, which microphone did you like the best? Which did you like the least, and why? You can guess if you want which is which, but really, just let me know. There is a form there. Email me, Steven@betterpodcasting.com. It doesn't matter. Get in touch with me on Twitter. I don't care how you get in touch with me. It can be short, can be detailed. Just tell me which do you like at geeks.link/shootout. So let's get to the better pod back. We had a couple of people chime in this week, didn't we, SP?
We did. Over at betterpodcasting.com, there were a couple of comments dropped by a couple of podcasting professionals about our last episode, which we talked about explicit versus clean content. And we had Daniel J. Lewis comment on our episode, and he said, "Regarding explicit episodes in a clean feed, Apple provides a tag that is useful in this case. Adding to an individual episode will block it from appearing in the catalog in iTunes, Apple's podcasts app, and some other players, but it won't prevent the episode from being downloaded by subscribers with the same apps. In Apple's own words, quote, specifying the tag with a yes value in a tag podcast prevents the entire podcast from appearing on the iTunes store podcast directory. B, a tag episode prevents that episode from appearing on the iTunes store podcast directory. So, Steven, did you have a chance to look at this?
So I did. And I have to say, Daniel, thank you so much for sending this. I Googled and Googled before we did the last episode, and I never came up with that. I took your keywords, I pasted it in, and I found it. So it's a testament to the fact that it is a little hard to find information from the iTunes and the Apple perspective. So thank you so much for sending that. And yeah, Daniel J. Lewis has been doing this for a long time. So I'm so glad you did that. Thank you for letting us know about that. And it also does really kind of encourage you to think a little bit about the tagging on there. We've talked about it. The explicit tag can be applied to a specific episode, and it can be to an entire podcast. So if you are regularly making your podcast explicit, obviously make sure you tag your podcast as it. But from this yes, no, multiple choice thing, I guess, you know, if maybe it's a one-off, just tag your overall feed as clean, I would guess, because that seemed to be what Apple was indicating, is, you know, they don't need to do it as one in the same. Now, I don't know. I've heard a bunch of stuff that they're changing sort of the way it reads things, and I'm not going to get into that because I'm just not a subject matter in the iTunes environment. So definitely check out Daniel J. Lewis. He's got a bunch of great articles on this sort of stuff. Please do check him out. The other thing that he wanted to talk about was that I slightly, Steven, misrepresented the IAP podcast ad metrics document talking about streaming versus downloads. And apparently the way that I had mentioned it was that they had actually said that streaming is not streaming, as podcasters call it. And the big part that I was trying to talk about in there was, I've complained to people like SP and Chris Farrell over the years that podcasters use the term streaming loosely when it's not. It's been a big sore spot for me. I used to do streaming back in the early Winamp, Shoutcast days, all that stuff. So when I first started seeing, and it was probably even pre-podcast, people making it so you hit play on a website and then it buffered the MP3 or the file or whatever it was, and they called it streaming, it bugged me. It seriously has been something that bugged me for such a long time. And that was the point that I wanted to make, was the excitement that IAB agreed with me. So that was the sort of joke tone that I was hoping to go for, was that they are defining that the way that podcasters describe streaming, where you hit play and it downloads an MP3, is just an enhanced download. And yes, that is what the document says. If you go to page 5 of that document we talked about, it actually has the technical jargon in there. And it says, despite the use of the word, quote, streaming, end quote, in podcasting, quote, streamed, end quote, podcast files are progressively downloaded via the standard HTTP protocols. True streaming, typically reserved for live events, requires a specialized server and uses an entirely different protocol. And that was what I did want to kind of get out there, was that true streaming is different than what podcasters call streaming. So thank you very, very much for sending that, Daniel. I do appreciate that. And always happy to eat some crow if I worded things wrongly or misrepresented. And apparently I did. So I apologize if I misrepresented that.
Yep. So thank you very much, Daniel J. Lewis, for providing us that information. You can find his contact at content at audacitytopodcast.com. Another podcast professional that also commented on our episode, he goes by the name of Dave Jackson, also known as The Dave Jackson.
I was going to say, we have to call him The Dave Jackson.
That's right. Yeah, at schoolofpodcasting.com. And he said, I love that you point out that when you swear all the time, it loses its emphasis. I don't use the F word much, but when I do, it's because I really want to make a point. When people just swear to swear, I get sad, as it shows, to me, a lack of creativity. There are 8 trillion zillion words. Get creative and find a new way to say it. Have the fun of half the fun of Howard Stern on terrestrial radio was watching him dance on the line without going over. Yes, this is Howard Stern on the actual radio versus Howard Stern on satellite radio, which is an entirely different rated show. And yes, I would agree. I love comedians that, like Seinfeld, he's a great example, that try to bounce around concepts without going profane, basically. Yeah. I personally like that. And also, I'm not against swearing, but when you do it, make it count for something. And so I'm my mindset is a lot like Dave Jackson. I'm not against swearing. It's just, it loses its emphasis to me. And get creative. I want to hear how creative you are with words. I want to be entertained. I want to hear a word and then put it in the SP library to use for the next 3 weeks. That's what I want.
That's awesome. So thank you very much, Dave Jackson, the Dave Jackson, for chiming in on that there. And I think if you want to learn more about explicit podcasting, both of these offer a lot of really great information on it. Both of them have touched on the subject several times, so please do check both of them out there. Schoolofpodcasting.com for The Dave Jackson and audacitytopodcast.com for Daniel J. Lewis. Both of them are very, very much podcasting experts. There you go. I've just branded you that, officially trademarked.
Copyrighted.
All right. So that does take us to the end of episode 46. And before we do wrap up, I want to remind everybody that we are part of the Gunna Geek Network. And why I want to emphasize that this week is because it is here. It is finally here. We are through that horrible sunshiny months. The rain is back, snow in some places, and we're ready to hunker down and watch TV again. All of that dry TV is gone. The good TV is coming up here. And so in turn, a lot of the Gunna Geek Network podcasts are getting back to their home base, their main content. So please do check out all of the great shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And there you go. That's that ending music. So for episode 46, I'm Stephen John Drew, and I don't know what type of person I am.
And I'm Stargate Pioneer, saying have fun with your format content on your hobby podcast, and just have fun in general. So see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.